This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
The time is 11:04. It is a Monday night. That can only mean one thing. Free your mind.
Sex worker, and yes, it does. In girls, biblical sense, I am beyond the pretend. Fang hooker, sex worker, wench, vow metamine. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Oh, okay, I begins to gather to me, which I will. I'm not a prostitute. Sex worker, but I can give you what you want. Like a shotgun, needs an outcome. I'm a prostitute. Sex worker, damn it.
Get some. You've tuned in to the Vixen Hour. Sex workers setting the record straight on Australia's first gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9. Red Umbrella Radio.
That's right, you have tuned in to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The Vixen Hour is your weekly radio show that explores life, issues and the world from a sex worker's perspective. This is your opportunity to challenge the stereotypes and prejudice that you may have about sex work and hear from the actual voices of sex workers ourselves.
Yay!
We are out loud and proud. This is the only community radio program in Australia that is publicly broadcasted directly to your radios and available to listen online all the time. Turn it up.
All discussions presented on Vixen Hour are made in the interests of community information and are not intended to induce any individual to seek employment in the sex industry. For more information in this area, we recommend individuals to get in contact with their local sex work organisation. The Vixen Hour. Everyone has an opinion about sex work. Make yours an informed one.
Joy 94.9.
That's right, you are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. If at any point you would like to interact with the program, you can do so by texting in on 0427-JOY-949, giving Robert at the front desk a phone call on 1300-JOY-949, or sending us an email at onair@joy.org.au. Every week here at the Vixen Hour, we do look at a different topic, and tonight we will be asking the question, is sex work queer? We'll be featuring a bit of a discussion with Dr. Lauren Rosewarn and Leah from 3CR's Queering the Air program. But joining me in the studio, as I do every week here at the Vixen Hour, I'm joined by a new sex worker here in the studio. And tonight I'm joined by the fabulous Anise.
Hello, everybody.
Hi, Anise. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Christian.
It's good to hear. So what we do here at the Vixen Hour, because I do try to get to know our co-hosts every week, we might do we might do a bit of an introduction. I'll let you introduce yourself. So who exactly is Anise?
Okay, well, I'm Anise and I'm a sex worker.
Yay.
I feel like I'm at a Sex Workers Anonymous meeting.
I think everyone should get up and applause right now. That would be awesome.
I am very proud of my work. I take pride in my skills. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, what else?
What kind of sex work do you do?
Well, I predominantly work in a brothel at the moment, mm-hmm. but I have done sort of other sort of informal type work, mm-hmm. as I would call it.
Excellent.
But yeah, brothel work mainly at the moment. Yeah. It suits my needs.
Yeah. And have you done sex work for a long time? Is it something new?
No, I haven't done it for the official part of my sex work in the brothel. Side, I haven't been doing for very long, maybe just over a year, mm-hmm. but it's my main full-time work at the moment, so yep. I've gained experience in that year. But yeah.
Yay. Well, look, something that we do here at the Vixen Hour every week is every time we do have a new guest co-host, we ask them how they define sex work for themselves. And that's sort of a conversation that we started in our very first program when we asked the question, what is sex work? We wanted to acknowledge that sex work means something different to every single person. So whenever we do have a new co-host, we ask the question to Anise,
yeah, sure.
What does sex work mean to you?
Well, Well, I think it's quite a broad area. Mm-hmm. I think the main sort of points of sex work would be sort of making agreements with people of a sexual nature, mm-hmm. about what type of sexual service that you're going to provide for them. That could be a number of things, from, you know, straight sort of full service stuff to BDSM. It could be stripping. It mm-hmm. could be any number of sexual orientated services.
Yeah. And I like how you sort of started off by saying it's an agreement. So if
consent is,
is a very strong and important part of the service.
Well, you negotiate exactly what you're going to be doing in that service.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I guess that sort of process, sort of, I think everybody does that, whatever job that they do, they sort of put boundaries terms around their profession and negotiate those. So for a lot of people, that they may be award rates and sort of negotiations already done for you, whereas independent workers have to sort of negotiate those things themselves.
Yeah, I mean, an obvious sort of sex work thing would be to exchange sex work for money, mm-hmm. but I would even include, you know, gifts or just any sort of agreed exchange.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that's sort of coming into sort of the, you know, as we do here at the Vixen Hour, we try to be as inclusive of as many sex workers and as many different types of ways of working as are out there. So,
I mean, some women go through the process of, you know, the sugar daddy thing mm-hmm. online.
Yeah.
So they do arrangements with men over mm-hmm. line online. Yeah.
And certainly on the Vixen Hour, we've interviewed sex workers who've sort of gone through that process before. I remember one of our co-hosts identified it as being a sugar babe.
Yeah.
Which kind of reminded me of that band, and I was wondering, you know, did they think of that when they came up with the name? So yeah. So sex work does happen in all different sorts of ways. Yeah, so has your understanding of sex work changed over, you know, the course of doing it? Like, before you started, did you have an idea of what sex work would be like?
Yes, I did, and mm-hmm. it was very, very different.
Yeah. How so? What sort of changed?
Well, I guess I thought it was going to be more sort of around your negative dialogues around sex work. I thought, you know, I'd be compromising more or something.
Mm-hmm.
But actually, I found it a much more positive experience. Well, I suspected that it was going to be a positive experience. So,
yeah. And it's been a positive experience for you.
Oh, yes, definitely. It's one of the most positive decisions mm-hmm. I've ever made in my life. In my life.
So for you, what has been, I guess, some of the best things about sex work that you've sort of gained over your time doing it?
Confidence, actually. Mm-hmm. Just over interacting with people in general, knowing my own boundaries, knowing mm-hmm. just more about my personality, what I'm willing to sort of share with people.
Yep.
It kind of blew out of the water a lot of my sort of notions of, I know, just interacting with people in general.
Yay.
Yeah.
Yay. That's fantastic. Well, I'm glad you're here joining me in the studio, Anise. The topic for tonight's program is sex work queer? So we will be exploring that question in a number of ways.
It's huge.
It is a bit huge. It is a bit controversial. But we do invite you to interact with the program. So please send us a text message on 0427JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We would love to hear from you. We've got to go to some messages now, but we'll be back shortly hearing from a couple of special guests. Dr. Lauren Rosewarne, who listeners may be familiar with on a number of Joy programs, as well as a special guest from community radio station here in Melbourne, 3CR, who have a queer program called Queering the Air. We'll be hearing from Leah, who's one of the regular presenters of that show. You're on the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. The topic for tonight's show is sex work queer? So I thought a good place to start would be actually trying to define what queer is. dangerous territory. So I thought we would bring in a few experts, if you like, or at least people who have thought about this question for quite a while, to share their opinions on what sex work is, as well as if they consider is sex work queer. So we've prepared this little mashup of a discussion with Dr. Lauren Rosewarn. So Dr. Lauren Rosewarn is a lecturer at Melbourne Uni on public policy, also does a lot of research on gender and sexuality, is a regular columnist on the Conversation website, as well as featuring regularly on other shows on Joy 94.9. And we've also asked, because the show is talking, you know, is sex work queer, we thought we would bring in somebody who regularly talks about queer issues, and that is Leah from 3CR, that's 8:55 AM. On Sunday between 3 and 4 is a program called Queering the Air, and Leah is one of their regular co-hosts. So this is part of the discussion that we had with them. What is queer?
I think that there are so many different understandings of what queer is, like operating, depending on, you know, when and how you're using it. I would say that queer, like as an idea, or like queerness as an idea, would be anything that questions or like problematizes or complicates gender and sexuality, especially like outside of a gender normative, like binary gendered, hetero monogamous kind of paradigm.
Queer came out of postmodern and post-structuralist approaches to sexuality to look at a way of thinking beyond normative sexuality. So that beyond the idea that you're either heterosexual or you're homosexual or gay or lesbian, but actually taking it beyond that and thinking, well, actually sexuality is something much more fluid, that you can move around the, you're not always one or the other. And beyond that idea of whether you're born that way or conditioned that way, but rather thinking that it's something that you can, states you can move in and out of. I might be bisexual for a while, then I go into a heterosexual relation, and that it's not finite.
When queer is used for individuals, it's usually, you know, GLBTI, as in gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, intersex, and also in diminishing amounts. So, like, I feel like most trans people I know who say they're queer would say that they're both trans and queer meaning, like, gay, lesbian, or bisexual.
Yeah.
I don't know any trans person who just calls themselves queer as in to mean trans. So, and I feel like intersex, even more people who are intersex are even more not necessarily feeling that that like queer umbrella is really serving them that well.
It's now used to describe people, but originally it was a way of reading things. And this is where we got that concept of a queer reading. So people would watch films from the 40s and 50s and look for homosexual or non-heterosexual, non-normal or non-vanilla presentations of sexuality. So it started as a very academic pursuit. It was really looking at things from a queer lens. Now we tend to describe people and people describe themselves as queer because, and attached to that is also the, it's somewhat, for some people, less offensive being called queer and also referring to themselves as queer. It sounds less laden with baggage than saying I'm homosexual or I'm a lesbian. It sounds more friendly to some people. Some people say it's completely political.
Right.
But it tends not to be so political in the ways that like radical feminist or a word like that would be.
What do you see as the differences between queer and gay or lesbian or bisexual or transgender?
Yep, so gay and lesbian studies particularly predates queer theory, and that was very much, most of the debates were surrounded around whether people are born gay or whether they become gay through social conditioning. And it was still very much that idea of you're gay, gay is your identity, that's your primary focus of your activism or your research. When you look in the mirror, the first thing you see is gay.
Yeah, I definitely think that, like, as an idea, or when you're talking about, you know, queering something or, like, you know, having a queer perspective on something, that I think it is, like, much broader. And that's maybe where, like, you know, it would, like, sex work would be part of that, kink would be part of that, polyamory would be part of that.
Yeah,
but for individuals, regardless of how anyone wants to define it, like how it's used at the moment, is like much more gay, lesbian, bisexual.
Queer theory came out of this idea of there's not singular truths for anything, that things are open to interpretation and that nothing is fixed, that across my life course I want to experience different things, and there's a lot lot more flexibility. So that idea of queer being very much this thinky approach to things, whereas it was quite clear cut with gay studies and the things that, you know, this was your identity, that's fixed, that's what we've got to fight for, more rights around that identity.
Right.
Queer theory, again, much more fluid. Activism was less, it's becoming more important now, but originally activism wasn't really what it was about. It was more about thinking things in a more elastic way.
Yeah.
I think queerness, like queer identity, is open and questions itself. It's not like a set, you know, designation. You know, it's not like a static identity where you're like, this is what I am and what I like. It's like something that is, you know, continuously like examining that.
And I think part of it is also a lot of people who wouldn't define themselves ever as gay or lesbian can be part of a queer movement because they can see themselves, okay, well, I'm non-vanilla. And that idea that I don't go home and have missionary sex with my husband, that therefore I'm not necessarily feeling the same discrimination as a gay man might have or a lesbian might have, but that I nonetheless feel sympathies or empathy with that group of people and I want to be involved. And that's why you have a lot of people calling themselves queer who would never have been classified as gay and lesbian in the past, but feel an affinity.
Yeah, right.
And that's where you've got, not only, I guess, you could have a lot more people being active.
I've sort of heard, say, people who are heterosexual but kinky, like, talking about being queer as kinky and then queer, like, gay, lesbian, bisexual kinksters being like, no, we want to keep that, you know, keep queer as meaning that because that's useful, I guess.
But it also problematically, I think, diffuses the issue. What are you fighting for? Because, and this comes back to that old argument about gays and lesbians and whether they should have a united front or whether in fact their issues are quite different. And this is this idea with queer where there's so many issues turned in, and I think we're going to talk about sex work tonight, but this idea of whether sex work is part of this queer struggle as opposed to, is queer really just about, I guess, an umbrella term or a way of thinking about identity as being more than clear-cut and more than what you're born with, but actually encompassing a whole lot of other things.
Sure.
And also, like, you know, is that identity just based on that norm? Because what if that norm changes? I mean, we want that norm to change, right? What if, what if the things we do and we're into become totally normalised and okay and completely accepted? Do we stop being queer?
Like,
because if that identity is just based on, like, what is not accepted.
Is sex work a queer issue?
I think sex work is queer, but sex workers aren't necessarily queer, maybe. You know, I mean, I guess sex workers can define that for themselves, whether or not they think of, I guess, I mean, a lot of sex workers are also queer for, you know, whatever else is going on with their identity and desire, but whether or not they see, you know, doing sex work as queer, I'd leave that for people to decide themselves. I think sex work as, you know, a practice, though, is queer because it's, yeah, because it is outside, like, the accepted norms of who and when and how you have sex.
Yeah.
And I think on one hand, if I have my academic hat on and think about what I often do when I'm using queer theory is a way of thinking about something. Am I watching this film and thinking, is this a queer film? So if you look at sex work as a practice that is not normal in the sense that it's not vanilla sex with your husband in the missionary position, but it's sex for money, which comes under that definition of certainly not vanilla, sex where there's a financial transaction, then it is non-mainstream. So in that interpretation, absolutely, it's queer. But whether that is actually... whether the issues around sex work and whether, you know, rights and respect and all that stuff that sex workers fight for in generic, whether that's helpful to link it to queer, I'm not sure as to whether that's any more of a handy tool of activism than civil rights, let's say, or any other right to respect.
I want to say thank you to Dr. Lauren Rose Warne and Leah from Queering the Air for speaking to us and contributing to that little verbal mashup
there. Yeah, that was really, really interesting.
Yeah. And I kind of feel relieved that I didn't have to define what queer
is. Yeah, it's a very complex topic that we maybe should leave to the academics.
Yeah, or to people who are sort of, you know, in the community who are sort of wanting to have those discussions. Whereas on the Vixen Hour, we want to discuss sex work. And while we are on a GLBTIQ radio station, I think it is helpful to sort of have that framework of what queer is.
Yeah.
So, and I like how they say that, you know, each person has to define it for themselves.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, because I think a lot of sex workers won't think about their work as being queer, mm-hmm. but I wonder if that negates it still actually being queer, though, even though they're not purposely being queer about it.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's interesting. And one of those running themes is, you know, both of those experts had identified sex work as a queer issue, but sex workers themselves sort of have to claim that queerness for themselves.
Yeah.
And I identify as queer.
Yes.
Do you identify?
Yes, very much so. I love my queer label.
Yeah.
I love queer.
Yeah. And does queer for you...
I'm a big queer.
Yeah, yeah.
Blaming.
Screaming. Does queer for you necessarily mean GLBTI? What does queer mean?
Well, I sort of have the two parallel things running with this.
Mm-hmm.
I think it does mean queer as in, like, gay.
Yep.
But I also think of it as sort of, like it said in the clips, challenging heteronormative sort mm-hmm. of values, gender roles.
And challenging that mainstream. So, like, even... See, for me, as a young person growing up, yes, I did sex work. Yes, I sort of experienced all sorts of issues of, you know, marginalization or whatever. So that always meant I was a bit out. So, you know, I'm not middle class. I'm not white.
Yeah.
You know, I always felt like... I was sort of on the outer, even sort of in the gay community. So having queer was sort of a comfortable place for me to sort of exist.
I sort of came to the sort of queerness through sort of gay avenues. Like, I started off questioning my sexuality, as people do, and realising that it wasn't necessarily heterosexual.
Mm-hmm.
And then through that, it started opening up to queer because I realised that I didn't necessarily fit the... at the time, sort of gay stereotypes. I mean, I identify as a queer femme.
Mm-hmm.
So I wasn't, a queer for me just sort of opens things up a lot more. I feel like it's not prescriptive.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Gay feels a bit tight sometimes.
Yeah. I'm wondering what the listener thinks of a definition for queer. Do they identify as queer? I don't know. Let's hear from them. You can text in on 0427 JOY949 or send us an email at onair@joy.org.au. We do have to go to some messages now, but we will come back and talk more about the issues around queer identities and sex worker identities, and do they overlap and what do they mean?
Yes.
You're on the Vixen Hour here on JOY94.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. You're with Christian, and I am joined by the lovely Anise.
Hello.
And we are talking about, we are asking the question, is sex work queer? Big juicy question. Now that we've defined sort of what queer is, I thought we might take this opportunity to sort of talk about identities around sex work and queerness. Mm. And one of the first ones I think that comes to mind, or certainly jumps out of a lot of TV shows, movies, some stereotypes that people mm-hmm. might have, is this idea of gay for pay.
Yeah.
Like, sex work is very much... that there are some people who sort of assume a particular type of identity to do sex work.
Just for sex work, and then have a separate one in there for their own lives.
Yeah.
Then, yep.
Yeah. And I think sort of the idea of gay for pay as it's portrayed in the media or in the arts or in movies or TV shows is actually quite different to how it works in our in
it's
sex
almost
work.
Bad at some points. Yeah. Like, they're portraying it as a sort of traumatic experience sometimes.
Yeah, and sort of these street hustlers. As, you know, these tragic male figures or whatever, if that's, you know, either a romantic or sort of fetishized archetype, if you like. But I think the reality of that situation is quite different. Certainly there are those people, but I don't think they form the majority of
people
who assume a certain identity to do their job. So for sex workers, I actually encounter many more individuals who are actually straight for pay. So the majority of female sex workers I know who may identify as queer or as lesbian.
There's a lot of them out there.
Yeah, and still do sex work.
Yes.
And for me... Yeah.
And are not traumatised.
Yeah. Funnily enough.
At all.
Yeah. And in fact, I think there's quite a healthy separation of a personal sexual self as opposed to a professional sexual self.
Yeah, well, you're doing it, providing a service. Mm-hmm. So some, I guess for some people, they find that if they're doing a certain service, like take a heterosexual service opposed to they might be gay in their own time, that's a very, very obvious boundary.
Yeah.
It's not going to be crossing over.
Yeah, and I think that it is a level of professionalism that we do. You know, it's like, and I think it sort of really makes clear to people that there is a difference between personal sex, like work sex, and non-work sex.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Big difference.
Mm. And I think that's sort of one of the clear delineations of it. And, you know, for some people who, you know, work within their own sexuality, so, you know, I'm queer, I'm gay, I'm in a gay relationship at the moment, and I see male clients, that sort of separation of personal and professional self is still there, even though my sexuality sort of is practiced through.
Yeah, well, it's an
work.
Individual thing. I think some people maybe need that sort of sexual orientation boundary of difference, you know, very clear boundary.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm pansexual, so hey.
so for the listeners who may not be familiar with that term, how would you define what pansexual is?
Well, often it's confused with not seeing gender or not caring. But for me, it's just, it's kind of not caring. It's just not, gender is not really in the forefront of my mind. Doesn't mean I don't see it. It just means it doesn't make me decide whether I want to be with someone or not.
Yeah. And is there a difference between pansexual and bisexual?
Yes. Well, this is quite a huge debate in itself because there's a lot of definition discrepancies between what people think actually bisexual means. Some people think that it's perpetuating gender binary. Some people go with some strange, loose definition that it means something like the same and other, which I think is a bit precarious and weird. But I tend to go with gender binary on bi. I think it's an obsolete term.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But that's just my personal opinion. Bisexual people don't hate me.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because, like, but when you say bi, it obviously means two.
Yes,
so,
but like, what that two is under debate.
And does transgender fit into that binary? Or
some people think it does with the same and other definition, and some people flatly just think it's just totally,
Whereas if you're, like, pansexual, that kind of is not even a question.
Like
it doesn't
matter.
It's
a giant, big, friendly rainbow for everyone.
Fantastic. That's excellent. Now, coming back to our discussion around sex workers and identity, and I think sort of bringing in a discussion of pansexuality or acknowledging diverse sort of gender roles, I think each one of those gender roles also is present in sex work. So certainly I've encountered sex workers of all genders and sexualities.
Yes.
It's quite an embracing.
Yeah, well, certainly if you're taking the porn industry into consideration, there is a vast range of gender representation there now, which is amazing to see.
Love it. Yeah, and it's interesting, like, people used to sort of have this idea that if you were transgender, particularly, you know, 20, 30 years ago, the only job you could get would be in the sex industry.
Yeah.
And a lot of people sort of say that as a bad thing, but I think one of the things, particularly for me, particularly for someone who was queer, who didn't feel like they were part of the mainstream, it meant that, you know, I had a space where I could flourish.
Yeah.
And I think that's certainly the case for a lot of people who feel on the outer or who feel particularly queer.
Yeah, I mean, in any sort of industry has its good sides and its bad sides. Obviously, sex work has its bad side, and there's going to be negative dialogue around that.
Yeah.
But obviously, at the same time, that gets far too focused on, like, anything.
Yeah, and there is a good side and bad side to every occupation, but we don't focus on the bad side.
Yeah, not as much.
Plumbing.
Yeah.
All the time. Is there a bad side of Chloe? So having like sort of a diverse range of sexualities and I guess gender roles present in sex work, I think it also characterizes clients in a particular way. And although a lot of people think of clients as being sort of predatory or sleazy men, I think sort
Or just like socially inept or something.
Yeah. I think sort of the diversity of sex workers means, you know, there's a market for this diversity.
Yeah, there is.
So that means that men have to be somehow accepting of all of these types of roles as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, they can't all be that bad. Surely. And I think there's also this, what I find interesting, particularly around gender and traditional gender roles, is that people think that sex workers have to be femme or hyper-sexualized.
Yeah.
Whereas
I mean, that works as well.
And look, that is a particular market.
Yeah, for sure.
But it is not the only market.
Yeah, no, not at all.
Yeah.
Not at all.
Yeah, have you encountered lots of different types of... Have you met butch sex workers?
No, I wish I did.
I know a couple.
Do you? Yeah. No, anyway.
I'll give you their number later. No, I'm kidding. That's what we do here at the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We are talking about all things sex, gender and identity. And the question is sex work queer? So going back to this sort of personal / professional sexual separation, was this something that you learnt very early on? Was it obvious to you? Or was it something that sort of you developed over time? Like for me, it was sort of straight up.
Oh, okay. No, actually, it didn't take a terribly long amount of time, but at the very start, there was a bit of adjusting, you know, just to having sort of people in your space in different ways, in your physical space. I mean, I would not even go anywhere near saying I was traumatized or anything like that. But, you know, you have to get used to sort of different things going on.
Yeah.
Being... you know, close to people.
Yeah. And I think this is sort of like one of the failings, the many failings of sex education, that the only sex education you get as you're growing up is that they don't tell you that sex can happen in a diverse number of ways.
Oh, yeah. No. Yeah.
Like, you know, sex doesn't have to be emotional or doesn't have to, you know, lead to reproduction or love or whatever.
Yeah.
That, you know, you can do it in a whole number of ways.
Yeah, I think it's a pretty natural thing to want to express. And, yeah, for sometimes, for whatever reason, people visit sex workers if there's a myriad of reasons why.
Yep.
So,
Excellent. You are here on the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9. We do have to go to some messages, but we'll be back soon. Stay tuned.
A voice for sex workers. The Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station Joy 94.9.
Tonight we are talking about, you know, the intersection between queerdom and sex work. And I thought we might take this opportunity to talk about the many, I guess, instances where sex workers and the GLBTI or the queer community have certainly gotten together, or, you know, the times when we've been thrown together.
Yes.
So
sort of parallels.
Yeah. So, you know, throughout history, we have sort of been the social outcasts, you like. You know, we've existed.
Very much so.
On the fringe of the sexual revolution?
Basically, both groups are very much hated on by mainstream society.
And, you know, that is one definition of queer, you know, to be the ones who aren't really included in everything.
Basically, the queer ones.
Yeah.
Queer, aren't they? That lots, but queer.
Yeah, just a little bit. And look, there's been sort of examples all throughout history and in recent history, and you know, not all of them pleasant. So during World War II, sex workers, along with the GLBTI community, were rounded up by the Nazis and put into concentration camps.
Not good.
One of the historic sort of legacies of that is the symbol of the black triangle. Historically, it was, while gay men were sort of put in concentration camps and on their uniforms was the pink triangle, lesbians and other antisocial types, including people who were charged with what they labelled work shy, so people people who were criminalised on the grounds of begging or vagabondage. Vagabondage sounds a bit more BDSM than I think it actually is. Laziness, homelessness or sex work were sort of targeted by the Nazis and put into camps under the badge of the Black Triangle. So, you know.
Black. Blacklisted.
Uh-huh. Not nice. Moving forward in history, sex workers were also present at Stonewall. So at the beginning of the modern rights movement, sex workers were arrested alongside gay men.
Well, a lot of the gay men were sex workers, right?
Yeah, and a lot of the drag queens were sort of trans sex workers as well. So, you know, right at the beginning of this sort of gay rights movement, we were right there. We're like the fag hags, but like the super powered version of... and you know, we certainly have, sex workers have certainly sort of stayed alongside their GLBTI brothers and sisters. So you'll see at Pride marches, at Mardi Gras, sex workers do, except for this year, there wasn't a sex worker float, but certainly at Pride March, there was a sex worker group here in Victoria, have marched alongside the GLBTI community to you know, claim that we are allies, that we're friends and we want to stand together.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a big community there of queer people anyway, so.
Yeah, and at Pride March, I'm always overwhelmed with how supportive the crowd is of the sex worker group.
Yes, me too. I love that. Because the first time I did that, I was a bit scared, like, walking down the street. I thought maybe someone would, like, throw something at me.
Yeah. I know. And that's the thing, as sex workers, as, you know, people experience some level of queerness that, you know, you're...
I'd get something like the upholding the patriarchy or... I don't know.
Yeah. And you do. You sort of have to dip your toe in the water and find sort of safe ways to be out and stuff.
But the further we sort of marched down the street, the more I was like, hey, this is really cool. Like, everyone's being really supportive. And some people went out of their way to yell extra loud. And I was like, out and proud. And
absolutely. And I think it's because sex work, the GLBTI community does understand what it's like to be marginalised.
Yeah, well, you would hope so.
On the basis of your sexuality. And I mean, you know, up until like 20 years ago, both sex workers and gay people were highly criminalised and, you know, victimised by the police. And while the GLBTI community has gone some way to achieving some of those rights, it would be nice if sex workers could sort of
I think it's just education. I mean, you know, like the whole point of this show is getting our voices across and sort of getting a clearer picture of what we're about and what actually goes on other than the sort of stigmatised weirdo, like, media portrayal that often goes around.
Yeah, and when you...
Or the deficit model.
In times gone past, when the GLBTI community was highly criminalised, well, the queer community was highly criminalised and not very accepted by mainstream society, they were spoken about in those ways too.
It's just misunderstanding and exposure,
So previously, you know, gay men were described as sad or lonely or tragic or desperate. Aww. As we've sort of moved into sort of more contemporary times, we realise that, you know, that's just a stereotype and it may not necessarily be true.
But, like, they're not lurking around in parks and things.
Yeah. But you know, it's funny how those sort of stereotypes are still enduring for sex workers.
Yes, very much so. Yeah. Especially the damaged kind of trope. Oh, my goodness.
Mm. So, yeah, quite often there are other sort of instances where sex workers and the GLBTI community did form a partnership. So I think Australia has experienced a unique opportunity in that, in our response to HIV. During the advent of HIV, the government made a landmark decision in, as far as the world goes in terms of HIV response, and that is they sort of affected the what was called the partnership model. And what that was the government, rather than saying, oh, we know what's best for everyone and we're going to tell them what to do, they committed money. They just gave the money to those affected communities. So, injecting drug users, gay men and sex workers were funded to create their own organisations. Yeah. And what they did, what the outcome was a world-leading result in terms of managing the prevalence of HIV. And yeah, that's something that, you know, we all, if you look in the national HIV strategies to this day, they still identify those population groups as being a priority and doing things like peer education, letting their voices be heard, challenging marginalisation in order to achieve good public health outcomes. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. The time is 11:57. Oh, my goodness. You are here with Anise. We are talking about, is sex work queer? The latest instance of sex workers teaming up with the GLBTI community to challenge marginalisation, stigma and prejudice is... you're listening to it right now, the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. It's interesting. Putting this show together, I was a little bit worried that, you know, would people accept us? You know, because you always are a little bit worried if you're part of a really marginalised group.
Yes.
But, you know, having this radio show on one of only three gay radio stations in the world, it has been nothing but supportive and accepted.
It's interesting how much support you can have, surprisingly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hardly ever get any negative response. Well, not to my face anyway.
And I think that's sort of a testament of, you know, standing up and having a voice.
Yeah, I'm pretty staunch about it, to be honest.
Like. And willing to engage in that dialogue. So, you know, prejudice doesn't really have a long life if you're willing to engage in a conversation with someone about it.
I think I just like to let people know, you know, I'm actually a normal person, well, to a degree.
What is normal?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm approachable.
Awesome. You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We have to go to a message right now, but we'll be back shortly.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
You're listening to the Vixen Hour on Joy 94.9.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. Oh, Anise, it has come to the end of the show.
I know. I just want to keep on rabbiting on for hours now.
Yeah, sure. Okay, let's do that. Have you had a good time?
Yes, very much. I loved it. It was great. We'll thank you so much for having me.
Yay. You are listening to the Vixen Hour. If you do want to stay connected to the Vixen Hour, you can do so throughout the week by liking our Facebook page.
Like it.
Facebook.com/sexworkerradio. Couldn't be easier to find. You can also follow us on Twitter at Vixen an hour. I'm so lazy on Twitter. I should be better. I will make a concerted effort for next episode. Speaking of next episode, on the next episode, we will be looking at... We're going to be light and fluffy this time. We're going to look at sex work in the movies.
Oh.
And different representations.
Pretty Woman.
Pretty Woman might feature.
No. Leave it out.
There's a lot of mixed opinions about Pretty Woman, but, you know, we'll see how we go.
It's a mixed movie.
But there are lots of representations of sex workers in film because, you know, we're just so goddamn entertaining. We couldn't help it.
I know. Yes.
You are listening to the Vixen Hour here on Joy 94.9. We will catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.